Good morning, everyone. Hope you guys are doing well. Hope you're ready for Christmas. If you're not, next week, well, you have to be ready by next week because next week is December. And I look forward to this Christmas season, anticipating a lot of great things for the Walk of Lights. And I am really looking forward to turn on the lights in my house. I put them on just the other day. I did not finish, I'll be honest, I did not finish putting everything out, but I did mess something up. And what I messed up was I laid them, when I was setting the lights, I try to be detailed. There's a lot of them that are dead. I laid them out in my garage, because I was going through everything, right? So I laid them out. And I remember when I was laying it out in my garage floor, thinking to myself, I better not dare park the car in the garage. Because I usually always do, especially in the winter, right? So, anyhow, last night, as I was leaving the house, I actually forgot about the Christmas lights, and we went to wash the car, and I asked my wife, so do you want me to put the car in the garage? She's like, oh, yeah, just put it in a garage. And I kid you not, as I was coming to my house, I was actually meditating. I was listening to this meditation stuff and thinking about scripture, and I was actually meditating. I hit the button, I opened the garage, and I'm just in my positive mode, driving my car into the garage, and as I'm driving into the garage, I just hear it was a painful noise. It was not a joyful noise. So I was like, oh no. So I had to back up. Long story short, I plugged it in. Thankfully, all of them are working still, except I broke, the plastic that goes around them, so I'll have to fix a couple of them. But that was my problem. I was meditating, and today I'm going to talk to you about a topic that is very important, and I would say probably one of the most important spiritual practices that we as Christians should follow and apply in our own lives. If you remember, a few weeks ago, I talked about prayer. Then I talked about fasting, starting prayer, start fasting, start praying, start fasting. And I want to finish it off before we go into Christmas season with start meditating. Start meditating. Now, when people say meditate, usually there's negative connotation to it. And a lot of people think of meditations from Eastern religions, as if they're the ones who came up with it, as if they're the ones who invented it, like the gurus, all of the gurus and all the self-help books and, talking about how you have to meditate to empty your mind from all the worries of life and all the troubles of life. And when you reach the certain state of meditation, they call it the nirvana, which is the certain peace, then your mind is empty and you got nothing to worry about. Instead of that type of meditation, I'm going to talk to you about biblical meditation, which is instead of emptying your mind, it will be filling your mind with the Word of God. That's why I brought this as a prop, because this is the most important book that you will ever own and ever have. Not even though some of the preachers, there's some good books out there. Pastor Ken's book is amazing. If you haven't read it, you should get on it. But this is the book that will change your life. This is the ultimate truth, and we'll be talking about it a few weeks now. This is the book that you should, if you have any problems, any issues, any concerns, you open this book and you find answers. And maybe at the moment as you're reading it, you may not see an answer right there and right there in front of your eyes, but as you start meditating, and as you start letting that word sink in and settle in your heart, then you see the results in your own life. So, what is meditation? Biblical meditation is simply this: pondering, contemplating, concentrating. And in the Hebrew translation, there's a word that's also part of it, muttering. Contemplate deeply and mutter. Now, not the negative muttering. When you're arguing with someone and they say something, but they don't really say it. And you're like, what'd you say? Not that type of muttering. I'm talking about muttering that's positive, that's transformational, that is scriptural. So how many of you know that the Bible is not supposed to be a book that just informs us, but the book that actually transforms us? So what I want to tell you this morning is that biblical meditation brings about real transformation in our life. God is the one who created it, just like he created marriage and everything else. God is the one who created meditation, not some guru or some leader in a new age leader that's, you know, out there, some self-help guy that, you know, is really into this kind of stuff. But God is the one who created it. And as a matter of fact, if you look at the scripture, we see that God was the one who demonstrated it first. And how do I know that? And if I look at the very beginning of the scripture and how God created everything, we know the story, how God created the world. The first 6 days, he was busy, working, creating, just like we are busy. Busy, 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 busy. I talk to people, I don't have time to meditate. I'm just busy. I just don't have time to sit still, meditate. But then the seventh day, God decides to rest and marvel and ponder. And he decides to just sit back and enjoy all the creation that he has just created. And I don't want to add anything to the scripture, but I believe that God was meditating on it and saying how beautiful all the things that he created were. That's why I believe, personally, that God designed Sabbath, which is the day of rest, and Sabbath was designed for rest and meditation. That's what Sabbath was designed for. So, thinking deep about the scriptures and thinking deep about the word of God. When I was growing up, I used to have some breathing issues. Some of you that know me really close, I've shared this story many times. It was a bronchitis / asthma, and I was the one who, taken in the middle of the night to the hospital to put it on a breathing machine, that kind of stuff. But one of the things that I remember growing up when I was, my parents would send me to the seacoast, and I would just breathe in all the air along the seacoast. And then they would do different things for me. One of the things that I want to focus on this morning was very important, because my grandpa used to say, doesn't matter what kind of problem you have in life, just drink goat milk and you'll be fine. It was his theory of, the goat milk will save you. Some of you, some Europeans, know what I'm talking about. So my grandparents had a goat. We didn't have a goat. We had a dog. Goat wasn't, So I used to go, when I was a kid, I used to go to my grandparents' place, and I was preparing this message, just thinking about this. I used to go just to hang out with the goat and drink the milk from the goat. Goat and I had this connection. I would come and show up, and my granddad would say, here's some grass, just feed the goat, and you just kind of hang out, and then, milk will come, and we'll get you some milk. And so, for those of you that know, goat milk doesn't taste good, but it is so healthy for you. It is the healthiest thing you'll ever drink in your entire life. So that's what I did, and it did help in many ways. But I remember being there and just having a staring contest with the goat. And just I was staring at the goat, giving some grass, and the goat is staring back at me and just doing this. Just eating the grass, right? And just by the time you think that the goat finished chewing his grass, he would just swallow it, but then he would spit it out again and keep on chewing, and keep on chewing. And if the goat was in a good mood, he would chew for a while. And we would just have a staring contest. And I realized one thing. What goats and cows, for those of you that know, and other animals do, is they chew their food for a very long time because they want to take every single nutrient that's found in that food, whether it's grass or whatever. That's why they can produce such amazing things. And I've, to now connect with the story that I was trying to talk about meditation, how many times do we miss out on the nutrients and the vitamins and the healthiest things that are found in the Word of God because we just don't chew long enough? We don't ponder enough long enough. We don't think long enough. We don't meditate. And we don't just let it settle from our mind to our heart. We don't let it just become a part of our whole being. So if I was going to ask you, when was the last time you meditated? You probably would say, I don't know. Maybe you're one of the weird ones like me and you meditate about a lot of things, about life. But what, if I would ask you, when was the last time that you were laying in bed and you're staring at the ceiling and you're thinking about all the problems of life? And you're thinking about all the stuff that you missed out on doing today and all the stuff you got to do tomorrow and all the bills you have to pay and all the things that you have to do for your boss. And you're just thinking about things and you can't fall asleep. If I ask you that right now, I'm sure 99% of you would say, I've done that just recently. So I'm here to tell you that you're an expert in meditating, except you're meditating about the wrong things and your focus is wrong. You're meditating more about fear and dread and negativity and problems of life than the Word of God. And then it consumes you, and then you become a slave to fear. Fear or freedom? What are we going to choose? So what if you change your focus before you go to bed? Instead of meditating on all the problems of life, you say, you know what? I'm going to take a verse and I'm just going to meditate on that instead of all the problems that I've going on in my life. We've heard the stories. It is life-changing. It is life-changing. And if we start doing that, if we change our focus, that really, once we change our focus, whatever we focus on becomes our reality. When we change our focus, we change our life. So one of the secrets of meditation is this process of just slowing down and just resting and just waiting. And I know we all may say, oh, I don't have time to rest. I don't have time to sit down. I'm too busy. There's too much going on. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to do this. But then we have some people that are in their spiritual life. They're way ahead of other people because they decide to find time to meditate and think about the Word of God. And I see people that are in bondage to fear and different things because they don't meditate long enough and they don't live and they don't let this word settle and become a part of their heart. So meditation is the practice that God invented. He started it and then he encouraged it. And we're going to read a scripture right here in Joshua. But if you look at the scripture, there's a lot of meditations and a lot of times when people were meditating. But one of the first times that we see it actually be a command was in the book of Joshua. And God is just, he just finished giving the law to Moses and the Israelites. And the book of Joshua basically starts, Moses, the servant of the Lord, is dead. It's over. Now, Joshua, here's some instructions. And then God gives him some instructions. And the instructions go along with this. I'm going to just read it. Joshua chapter 1, verse 7, 8, and 9. This is what he says. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law that my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. And then this is the first verse that I've ever memorized as a Christian. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. How are you going to do the will of God and the word of God? How are you going to follow through? Well, you're going to meditate about it. You're going to think of these things. And then, here's the promise. And then, you'll be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Number 9. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So God, here's God calling Joshua out, encouraging him to go. And there was a big journey ahead, big task. There was going to be a lot of stresses. There's going to be a lot of setbacks. There's going to be a lot of people that will complain. There's going to be a lot of politics. I mean, conquering a land is not an easy task. There's going to be a lot of problems. But before you get there, here's some instructions. And if you follow the instructions, here's what's going to happen. You'll be successful and prosper. You don't have to worry about stuff. So I'm sure through Joshua's journey, he probably had a lot of times when he was going through hard stuff, when he was tempted to meditate on the wrong things, when he was tempted to focus on the wrong things, to think about his enemies and how powerful and strong they are and all these things. But then he always came back to this. And later on in the story, we see that Joshua has conquered. So there's so many things that have happened. I believe as a result of this process that Joshua has followed through. So what meditation does, it helps us. It helps us in this process of figuring out God's will and God's way and God's direction for our life. It enables us to soak up the wonder of God's greatness, prepares us for what he has planned for us ahead. And that's what meditation did for the hearers of the scripture, and that's what I believe meditation, biblical meditation, would do for us as well. So there's 3 steps that I'm going to start with this, how we meditate, how I do it, is usually I choose like a verse or something I want to memorize and think about. First, actually, I remove all distractions. Everything that's distracting me at that moment, I try to remove it all. Then I choose a passage, I want to memorize it, and I think deeply about every single word from that passage. That's the step number 2. And then the step number 3 is I personalize this passage, and I ask myself a question. How does this word, how does this passage, how does this thing fit with my situation right now that I'm in at this moment of my life? And man, I've seen results in my own life in many areas, and I believe that you will see it in your life as you really take this seriously, this practice of meditation, and apply it to your life. So meditation has produced a lot of things in my own personal journey with the Lord. And there's 7 here that I'll share with you this morning. There's a lot more things that meditation can produce, but here's the 7 that have helped produce in my life. When I needed wisdom, when I needed strength, courage, clarity, peace, fruit, success, I always went to meditation. So the number 1 thing that it produced in my life, when I meditated on scripture, it was wisdom. In the scripture, it tells us, if you need wisdom, ask for it. So that's a part of prayer, where you say, God, I need your wisdom. But then I also believe the second part is knowing that the scripture, this the word of God, is the endless source of all wisdom. So knowing that and believing in that, this is where the wisdom lays. This is where the treasure is. So what meditation does, when we take the wisdom of God and we meditate on it, it produces this, in our Christian term words, we call it revelation. Man, I see so many people walk in bondage and fear because they don't have revelation in their own life. They don't see the truth for what the truth is. And they're confused and they're walking in bondage and they... So many people struggling because they don't, it's the revelation of the word of God that changes us and gives us wisdom of what to do in a certain moment or even better, what not to do in a certain moment. Because sometimes we are actually better off when we don't do stuff than when we do stuff. So wisdom. Meditation has helped me produce wisdom in my own life. Second thing that has helped me produce in my own life is strength. You see, Joshua here, talking about the scripture about Joshua, God was saying, you know, be strong and courageous. But just before he says that, he says, well, meditate on this day and night. Think about these things. It was like meditation was a prerequisite for strength in his life. There's going to be a journey ahead, and you will need strength. And I'm not talking about physical strength. I'm talking about spiritual strength. This is going to be an essential part of your journey. It's like God is saying to Joshua. It's going to be a tool that you're going to use, and it will help you endure whatever you are to face in your life ahead of you. So, thinking about God's law, meditating about it, talking about it, it's what will give him strength. Don't we all need some spiritual strength, more of spiritual strength? With all the attacks of the enemy and all the things that we face day to day, we all need more spiritual strength. When we face life, opposition, issues, when things become too overwhelming, too stressful, strength is gained from meditation on the truth of God's word. Third thing that it produced in my life is courage. The ability to do something that is fearful or frightening somebody else. Courage, here, strong, be strong and courageous. Also a prerequisite for courage is meditation. You see, doing something that we think we are not capable of, something that you may be afraid of at the moment. You see, maybe God has called you to do something amazing, and you may say, well, I do not think I am well suited for it. I'm not talented enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not like them. I'm not like her. I'm not like this. I'm not like that. And we come up with all these excuses. I'm not as good looking, as smart. I don't sing as well. I don't do this. I don't do that. I don't do that. And we come up with all these excuses as if the courage comes from us. As if we are the ones that need to produce the courage. An excuse that I hear from a lot of young people nowadays is, well, I'm an introvert. I can't do anything, you know. I'm just an introvert. And then I look at the scriptures and I look all these crazy introverts that God has used. Crazy introverts, like people that you never even think, like just even like Jeremiah. Is there any of those? They have to go speak. Jonah. Not me, God. He ran as far as he could run. You know, just all these examples of introverts, people that are not, they don't have, you know, my character, I can't handle this. I just, really? I was an introvert once too. Just to encourage all my introvert friends. I was sitting in there in a room, didn't talk much, just listen. You know, people would ask me to pray. Me? And I get an anxiety attack. I have to pray? What am I going to say? Honestly, I was an introvert. Now, you wouldn't say that now. People that know me now, 10 years later, after when I was starting to be more involved in ministry, would never say that I was an introvert. But that was a good excuse. You know, I'm an introvert, you know. And then I realized, hey, you know what? Courage doesn't come from me to step into whatever God is calling me. It comes from God as I give myself to him. So if God has commanded it, we are not to question it. If he's the one saying, I will give you encouragement, I will give you strength, I will go wherever you go. This means that even a failure, even when we don't feel, how do I say this? Even when we don't feel adequate enough, in God's eyes, we're adequate enough. We're enough. We're good in God's eyes. God loves us. It's not our strength. It's not our courage. It's God's strength. It's his courage, the courage of the Holy Spirit in us, that lives in us. It is his work, the power of his work in us. The fourth thing that meditation has produced in my life is clarity. And in a world of so much confusion, exactly, and blurriness and overwhelming, being overwhelmed with information and being so, because we're so overwhelmed as a generation with information, wrong kind of information, we are overwhelmed and uncertain and anxious, and we have blurry mind and we don't know what to do. And, you know, we are so exposed to all these things. But it is the Word of God that gives us clarity. And when we go deep down, of a verse that, just a simple meditation that you can do on a verse like, "For God so loved the world," John 3:16, that everyone knows. What does that actually mean? And then you go deeper in it, and you're thinking about it. Oh, God loves me. Oh, that's God really loves me. And then God loves my friends. God loves my family. God loves my distant family. God loves the people that get on my nerves. God loves the people that cut me off in a traffic. God loves the people that hate me. God loves all those people at work that talk behind my back. God loves all, God, what? I have clarity all of a sudden to view things from God's perspective and say, wow, I'm not the one who's going to hold a grudge against people when God has set them free and loved them, loves them. I'm going to love them too. God's meditation also produces unlimited peace. Number five, peace that comes, peace not the peace that the world talks about, not the peace that some new age guru will say you can achieve as you meditate and empty your mind of all the worries, but the peace as you fill your mind with the scripture. For example, John 14:27, if you need peace in your life, I want to encourage you to meditate on this, because this is what it says. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives. Let your hearts not be troubled. Let your hearts not be afraid." God has left the peace with us. He didn't take it with him. Jesus didn't take the peace with him and said, "Oh, you guys deal with all your issues." He's given us the peace. The question is, can we find the peace? And I believe that through meditation, biblical meditation, we can find peace that comes from him. It's found in the Word of God, not in the busyness of life, not in even accomplishments. You know, with thinking about what if I only had $1 million in my account, I would just have peace. You know, I wouldn't worry about a single thing. Just million. I don't need more. Just million. I don't need a billion like this guy and that guy. Just million. And then people think, well, this is all that is going to give me peace. I know so many people that have so much money and they have no peace. They still lack peace, true peace, because peace, true peace, does not come from the things of this world, from possessions, from self-help books, and all these things. True peace comes from Jesus. True peace comes from Jesus. So, if we need peace, we need to start focusing on the right thing, on the Word of God. Another thing that meditation has produced in my life is fruit. So much of fruit that other people can eat and enjoy. Psalm 1, I believe, was a psalm that David wrote as he was meditating on Joshua 1:8. And if you don't know what Psalm 1 is, it's one of my favorite psalms besides Psalm 23 and 91. First one is like, if you want to start something, leave today, you want to meditate on something, just meditate on Psalm 1. So meditate on it and think about it. Now, this is what Psalm 1 says. I'm going to read this to you just to kind of make a connection with the Joshua 1. It says this, Psalm 1:3. "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in a company of mockers." Verse 2, "But whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night." Number 3, "That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season." whose leaf does not wither, and whatever they do, prospers. Wow. So you're basically saying that I'm missing fruit in my life, like spiritual fruit, because I do not meditate? Yes. Peace, love, joy, self-control, blah, 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 blah. All those things I'm missing because I'm not spending and not meditating? Yes. That's where the fruit comes from. So much fruit that other people will come and enjoy, and they will enjoy and just love being around you. And they will eat of your fruit all the days of their life, unless you choose to meditate on the wrong things. And they will tell everybody around people that this person here, I love being around this person because this person has so much fruit. So as we meditate on the scripture, the seed of this word is planted deep in our hearts. And this soil is watered and fertilized. And the seed has a healthy environment to grow and bear abundant fruit, endless fruit, over and over and over again. The tree planted by the streams of water, people passing by, leaves are always there. They're always green. The tree is beautiful. There's so much fruit on it. All the birds that are flying, they all want to sit on the tree and enjoy its fruit. Because there's fruit. Don't you want to be a fruitful Christian? Fruitful man or woman of God? Meditation is a starting point. And then the seventh thing that is helped produce it, we see in the scripture here, is success. Now, success, I say it again, is not so much more, not so much about money. Like the world will say, oh, if you got fame, everybody knows about you, you got a lot of followers. You got money, and you own a lot of things. You are successful. That's what the world would say, you know? It's like it was even one of the temptations that the enemy came to Jesus with. I'll give you all this. I'll give you everything. You can own it all. And then Jesus said, it is written. Yes. And like every attack of the enemy, Jesus just came up with, it is written. Now, how did Jesus know all these scriptures? And I also believe that one of the things that got Jesus through to fast for 40 days was meditating on the word of God. And this is what he said. The first temptation was, well, if you're hungry. And then Jesus said, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. So if Jesus lived his life by meditating and eating the word of God, how much more can we live our life like that? See, when we, this is the success, I'm going to give you a definition of success. True success in life is knowing and doing the will of God. That's true success. In God's book, that is success for your life. If you know and you do God's will, you're successful in God's eyes. Nothing else matters. It doesn't matter what John or Peter says. It doesn't matter what even your closest friends and family say. If you know and do the will of God, you are successful in God's eyes. And that's all that matters. Not about how many goals in the World Cup Croatia scored today, or how many Canada scored or whatever. None of those things matter. We're just talking about this after the service. It's a World Cup. It's amazing. I love it. You know, big European playing soccer. I'll save that for some other sermon. You know, I was a big soccer star. Didn't make it. But even all those things, damn, success in God's eyes, nobody cares about that. God doesn't care about that. He doesn't care about having 20,000 people in a stadium screaming at the top of their lungs about 24 people running around a small ball. He doesn't care about that. So, the Word of God is a map, and we're called to do what it says. How do we know what it says? We meditate on it. We talk about it. We think about it. We ponder it. We're careful to do things that the Word says, too. not just meditate on it, but actually do the things. We're to live our life in this word. And as we do that, as we meditate, as we spend time, and this, as we do this habit is probably one of the most important habits. As it becomes a part of your life, it will keep you from all the shipwrecks of life. As you let the Word of God dwell in you richly, and by meditation, you're going to start viewing the world differently. You're going to start viewing your circumstances differently. You'll see your world and everything that's happening around you through the lens that God sees it through. And then everything changes once you do that. Then his thoughts become your thoughts. You develop the mind of Christ. You're able to relax. You're able to trust God. Trust the process. You're able to quiet yourself. And you're able to discover this peace that's just not of this world. Peace that only comes from above. So, I wouldn't be a good pastor if I wouldn't end with a good practical advice to help you in your process. Maybe you've never done meditation. Maybe you're doing it, and that's amazing. But for those that don't meditate, I want to encourage you to start doing it. Start doing it tonight, or maybe tomorrow first thing. Maybe you're a morning person. Maybe you're not. I'm a morning person, so I wake up early. I do all my stuff in the morning. And it's helped me a lot. Like, obviously, it takes about 15 minutes for me to wake up because there's no button to activate my brain right away. I need 15 minutes, okay? I need 15 minutes. And usually, the first 15 minutes, I'm just walking around the house trying to find my coffee cup and whatever I need, you know? But it's like automatic, right? Whatever is habit is automatic. But then when I wake up, my brain is the clearest and the easiest to receive what I am about to do. And then, actually, I didn't mention this in the first service, but what I've done also in the past is I would just put my jacket on and I would go for a walk outside without my cell phone and without any distractions. And walking has really been life-changing for me in many ways. And I don't know if some of you guys are walkers, but sometimes we walk and we waste time thinking about, oh, why is he driving like that? Why is it? No, not those things. Thinking about, like, life and thinking about God and thinking about his goodness and his grace and his love. Walking has been transformational for myself, and I believe it would be for you as well. Because when you're walking, you got nothing else to do but think. And they say some of the best things that have ever come to people's mind and ideas were when they were walking. Or another one is in the shower. Okay, well, shower is probably not so, I wouldn't recommend meditating in a shower. But another thing I want to tell you is, like in the morning, I would just pick a verse and I'll just take that and I just think about deeply each word of the verse, you know. Whether it's, just to give an example, God so loved the world, and I'll just think about that and I'll go deeper and what does that mean and how does that, I'll try to memorize that and then obviously think about it and meditate on it and pray over it and mutter it. For God so loved the world. God so loved the world. God so loved the world. And I'll do that on and on and on and on. Until it becomes part of my heart, deep down, rooted in my heart. And then, for those of you that have smart technology, has been great, but I think the technology has done more damage than good in many ways because it's become a distraction for a lot of people. And I know that we all have smartphones, unless if you don't, then it's fine. But if you have a smartphone, I want to encourage you to download this app because this app has really helped me. Bible app is great. I like Bible app. But there's an app that has actually meditation as a part of your daily ritual. And it's amazing. And it's called Glorify. Glorify app. It's free for everybody. But it has a little bit of a quote, scripture, talk about it, and then there is a portion where it's with the music, there's a meditation, and there's space for you as you listen and as you're in it to actually be able to ponder and meditate and think. It actually makes you think, which is pretty amazing. So I want to leave you with that because I think it's going to help you, especially if you're younger and you're got your smartphone. Glorify app has been life-changing for me. My wife is actually the one who helped me find it. But let's become people. Let's start meditating. And let's make this our daily ritual. And sometimes to create a habit, it takes a while. It takes, I think, 21 days, or some people are saying, you know, more than 30 or whatever. But if you make it your habit, then you're going to see some amazing fruit in your life if you actually do it. As I'm thinking about different people in the scripture, there was Isaac, and he was walking in the field. It says in Genesis 25, he's walking in the field looking at the stars, and he was just meditating about all the wonderful, marvelous work of the Lord, works of God. And I really believe, though, that's one thing that will change us from the inside out, as we meditate and as we let the word settle and become a part of who we are. Can we all stand? I want to pray for you this morning. I want to encourage you. I want you to know that God loves you. Even if you haven't been meditating, I want to close with this verse. Romans 12, 2, one of my favorite verses, says this: "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." Now, this is a perfect verse to meditate on as well, if you've never done it on this one. Or if you want to meditate on the best ever, it's Romans 8. That's like the best book of the Bible. If you put me on an island and I just had one pick, it would be Romans 8. That's all I can have. It's the best book of the Bible. But Bible itself is so rich in wisdom. Every book, every word has so much depth. Every phrase, every sentence, every encouragement, every miracle, there's so much there that if we just slow down and if we just let the word of God settle, we're going to start seeing miracles in our lives. We're going to start seeing fruit. We're going to become more wise. Decisions that we make will be wiser. We're going to have clarity about things that we are to do and we aren't to do. We're going to be successful. We're going to know what God's will for our life is. And we're going to follow along that path. And in the end, if I'm to die tomorrow, I can say, I've done it. I did it. I followed. I knew God's will. I followed God's will. And that's all that matters. So, Father God, may your word be alive and active in our hearts. And may we apply this morning as we've heard. We know that your word is true. We know that your word is everything. We know that you have a plan for our life. We know that you love us, and you've given us so many answers, and sometimes we miss out because we don't chew long enough. But we don't want to miss out on the truths, on the freedom, on the wisdom that you want to show us and guide us in. So help us to be the people that will follow you with all of our heart. Help us to be the people that will really make time to meditate and to think of these things, to ponder the things that you tell us. God, help us to be the people that will shine the light to everyone around us. We want to be the salt that will bring flavor to this world, flavor in our own life, in our own family, in our own relationships, and whatever we have. We want the flavor of the Lord. And Father, may we be rooted. May we dwell richly in your word, and may your word dwell richly in our hearts. May it transform us. And may guide us. In Jesus' name I pray, and everyone says, amen. Amen. Have a wonderful Sunday, and I'll see you next week.